I call anything which has data a data provider, so if I refer to that, that's what it means. So you see, FBOT is your photos, Tumblr, your notes, feeds, evolution contacts, et cetera, et cetera. These are all data providers because they provide data which you want to synchronize. General idea is you just drag things to a canvas and link them up like so, and that'll synchronize photos with a folder and et cetera. But I'll do a demo with you. So I started this application because, well, it was my Google Summer of Code application, but I didn't get through on that. But the problem for me was that these new Web 2 type sites are sort of popping up really, really frequently. And people are starting to use them. I mean, it started off with just Flickr, and now there's about 15 decent photo sharing sites that people are actually using. And you can take that into any sort of social website avenue. There's any number of things that people want to put their data on online. So it's unreasonable to think that FBOT should have to implement export for every single one of these, or that every GNOME application like Tomboy, I mean, it doesn't want to implement export interfaces for any number of things either. So what I sort of wanted to do is consolidate that into a single place, and that will let other application authors and users to use this own tool to synchronize their things, and it will hopefully do a lot of the stuff in the background. The other problem is you see lots of requests and bug reports for, this application should export to this particular thing, and people get so far, and then, well, it actually ends up being quite hard because it's easy unless you think about conflict resolution and you start to have to make these things responsive and keep the UI alive when you're doing all of this network type exporting, because all of these things are generally uploading like your photos. I mean, it's going to take quite a long time. So you don't want to have to put that burden onto every application author. And the other thing is, it's a confusing problem. In the one case, you can synchronize two folders, that's pretty good. But then you'll get all these use cases from, the people in this sort of audience where I want to write my blog in a text editor and SSH it to my remote server and do it that way. I mean, so there's that camp that you want to sort of at least address their concerns. And then you want to make it something what Apple's done with .Mac, where it's a single small box and there's a big sync button. So I've sort of been trying to let people have the freedom to do both. And that was sort of the way I've come up with the UI, which I saw there. And really, .Mac is an example I've got so far as what can be done easily for users. And I think, I mean, if this is not going to be doing something in that line with their new live branding, I think they will in the future. So I think this is a good opportunity also for a distro to step in. And this could be a .NET, Ubuntu.NET, and that could be their Windows.Live or et cetera. I mean, where does GNOME and the distro split end? And that's sort of this is the area where I see distros being able to offer something like that. So Conduit, as well as the application that you saw there, that lets you, at the moment, current status, like iFolder type, synchronize two folders over any sort of VFS-compatible source, so you can do your folders on your home computer with your Samba Share Firmware or WebDAV or whatever known VFS supports. It's a definite focus on applications that get shipped as in the GNOME desktop, so Tomboy and FBOT and those sorts of applications. It has a number of support for Flickr, there's a WordPress one that I'm working on, there's the GNOME Wiki, and a few other sort of websites, but I only have limited time, and there's an infinite number of these sort of online websites like this. And also starting to come in and get some hardware support now. I support iPod notes and photos, and now I have a Motorola Razr. I'll probably try and support that in a wee while. I also provide an interface for other applications to control synchronization and to set up their own synchronizations independent of what the user's doing. So the export method for example, FBOT to Flickr is now half a dozen debus calls rather than them having to do their own export interface. Same deal with Tomboy to your blog or Tomboy to anything else like that. So I'm trying to save application authors the trouble and hopefully scale it by supporting new data providers in Conduit rather than letting every application rewrite them. And I've taken some ideas which have worked really well in other GNOME applications, like Deskbar with their modular handlers idea, where you just drop it in a directory and it's trivially easy, and you see people writing quite a few of them, and it's really quite a good idea. So I've taken a lot of that code from there, and I've built this system where you can extend Conduit with new data providers, and then you'll get all of this conversion facility for free, so you can write, I'll go through a little bit, writing one for the GNOME Live Wiki or the Ubuntu Wiki, which runs Nonmo, and it's like a 50-line thing, and then suddenly you can do your photos to that or your iPod notes to that, or you get all this other stuff for free. So I'll just run through a quick demo, which, depending on the wireless, will be more or less useful. Hang on. This is a list of things which is known to work, so I don't make a fool of myself. So I'll start with Tomboy Notes, which you see here, and you can, I'll chuck that onto my iPod, or Hugo's iPod. And we'll also just chuck that in a folder, which you can then go and synchronize that folder with another Tomboy instance on another computer later on. So that's popped up. So these things, if an item requires configuration, there's a each one's got its own configuration menu, or you can double-click to access that. But at the moment, this is because it's on the right-hand side of the screen. You visualize data is flowing from left to right in one-way case. So your notes are flowing from Tomboy into a folder and onto your iPod. So we can go ahead and synchronize that. Everything's threaded and in the background and nothing's locking up. So that was a bad example because it was quite quick. But if you're doing, for example, two folders on a remote computer, so I can go and do this here. This is trying to model off more of what iPod has done in taking things with a descriptive name rather than worrying about paths and making the user care about that. So we can do... And it's actually gone ahead in the background and scanned how many folders are, items are in that folder. And so you can set that up with something here. Excuse me. Make some folders. And because in this situation you want it to be two-way, you're using that thing as a two-way sync, and then things will flow in both directions. So this is sort of the general interface that I've been using to... I wasn't meant to do that. Sorry about that. Sorry again. Nothing works for live. And this is sort of the medium, the middle ground between what I found of requiring people to know a lot about synchronizing stuff and what backends are and what a two-way synchronization is and what one-way is. So making it easy in this situation where you can just go like that and you can go synchronize, or you can do all sorts of unusual combinations if you're a power user. So you can put that onto backpacket.com and you can do it into here, and you can do it onto your phone, you can do it onto your iPod, and all sorts of obscure things like that. And it will do everything, and you'll get all these conversions for free. So I hope to finish off something, wrap it up into something releasable for a bit of a developer release this week. And that'll come with some iPod support and evolution support. Oh, I didn't show you conflict resolution. Bad example. And mysteriously that didn't delete. Let's pretend that didn't happen. I'll really pretend that didn't happen. Sorry, guys. I lost my point. Yes, that's right, conflict resolution. So we have, when there's conflict, ask name. All right, sorry, demo's not going to work for me. There's no conflicting items. So the idea is that conflicts actually appear in this pop-out window down the bottom here, and you resolve them in terms of the same arrow metaphor that I've used in the main GUI. So if there's a, it shows the conflicts down in this bottom part here, and you can go and inspect those because they're all they all resolve back to a URI. So if they're two files and they're on two remote shares, GNOME Open will open them, and you can put them out side by side. And then you resolve that by there's a toggleable arrow, so you can toggle the arrow for that way. So yes, this one wins, or that one, this one wins, or no, skip this one. So I'm trying to extend the sort of arrow and direction metaphor to let people resolve things as well as create partnerships like this. So and then I would hope to release a stable version timed with the release of 2.20 and support all the GNOME apps really, really well. The difficult one here is FSpot, so if someone wants to write a better Dbus interface for FSpot, be my guest, because otherwise I'm playing with the database underneath it while it might or might not be running, which is a bit dangerous to do. I added Dbus support to Tomboy so I can do two-way syncs while it's running, and it'll behave nicely and won't corrupt its Tomboy's data store. What do I want to do next with this? Well, who wants to help me build GNOME.net or Ubuntu.net or OpenSUSE.net? I mean, can you charge for this? I'm an equal opportunity speculator, any distro. I mean, but I think it's, if someone can build something which is, it doesn't have to be as good as Google Calendar, it doesn't have to be as good as all these other things, but if you just want a single sign-on to show your contacts and your Tomboy notes and your desktop application preferences and your panel location, your wallpaper and all of these things, I mean, if you just want to make it work at a distro level, I think it would be an interesting thing to be able to say, oh, well, we offer this, and you can do this quite easily with a simple sort of partnership between the desktop applications and a distro-supported website. And the other thing is, BlueZ and SynCE, which is the Windows Mobile sync infrastructure, have really, really started to rock, and that's really, really due to Dbus. BlueZ, you can almost do anything you want with the Bluetooth and mobile phones using only their Dbus interface. You don't really have to care about much else. And same with SynCE, so you'll have Windows Mobile support really, really trivially easily from my perspective. So that's going to be really cool. And then you saw there I did two-folder synchronization using a middleman, but what I hope to get to is using Pyro or Twist, that I forget, the remote object Python framework and Avahi for discovering other conduits on the network, and then you can do, you know, your folders with no middleman, or you can do your application settings, or you can do your wallpaper, anything like that, without having to set up, a path on a remote server or confusing stuff. Application preferences is what I mentioned. There was a Summer of Code project, I think maybe this summer, to do saving panel preferences. I think it was an Ubuntu one. So there's some code being written there in Python for storing panel preferences and reloading them. So I'll add that in at some stage. Other desktop type preferences, I mean, file associations, background, themes, I can't really think of much else for that at the moment. And then to support my idea of having some evolution support, I've started writing some okay-ish simple Python bindings for EDS, and it's taken too long and I wish they already existed. And finally, which I didn't show, you can actually run, for this Dbus stuff, you can run Conduit Headless, so the GUI and the actual engine which does all this resolution and resolving what types things are, it's all abstracted away. So if someone wants to do a KE port or something, it's only probably a matter of a week or so's work. But I would really like some questions and some opinions on where you think synchronization is going and how does this fit into the desktop. So, go ahead. Yeah. At the moment, I just don't give a two-way option if there is three things. So, the question was, how do you do? Two-way synchronization work with three things? So, at the moment, you can see two-way supported, but as soon as you get three things, it isn't. But I think, and imagine it can be extended, but this is that's going to be even more confusing for users, I think, to have to resolve those conflicts. So, I don't know, I'll explore that at a later date, I think.
Yeah. will your think algorithm cope with situations where you can't see the type?
Where you can't what, sorry?
Where there are three participants and you can't see the fact that there are three
participants. You mean when it's being controlled by debuff with no GUI or? Sorry, I don't understand the question.
If you have two or even three instances of conduit on, say, different notebooks,
yes,
syncing contacts with each other and with the same with our phone, what's going to happen?
I think it's the same with what other sort of synchronization things do. In that situation where the stored modification time for a remote thing, like on your phone or on your iPod, this keeps a conduit keeps a memory of what its last modification time was on a per, say, computer basis, because you assume that conduits only run once per computer. So then if you find that it's changed remotely, then you can see that someone else has gone in underneath you and changed it. And that's just always fall back to the user to let them decide. And so in this whole conflict resolution thing, which I should have checked first, because everything that I support eventually gets mapped back to a URI, the user can go and compare them face to face. So for example, on my phone, if you find the case where someone's changed the contacts underneath you, by the time I bring the data back to the level of the application, it's something which can be viewed on the computer. So the framework at least allows stuff to be brought back so the user can actually see the thing to decide which is the most recent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't make them, you know, look at their phone to see which, compare it with the computer. Everything's brought back into this space. I sort of think about it.
I had another question on the way about the phone syncing. Things like SyncML.
I sort of forgot to mention, as of about last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, someone finally wrote some G-object with some decent bindings to OpenSync. And that's a really recent development. So I've wrapped those and written Python bindings for them. I think there'll be an announcement of the OpenSync bindings, at least on Planet Gnome, in a wee while when they're released stable. But that's the sole reason I wanted them, because OpenSync supports SyncML. So yes, in the future, SyncML will be supported through OpenSync. But everything else, I've largely re-implemented. The core of what OpenSync is a lot of their just a big hash table comparing things and incorporating modification times. And so I re-implemented that in Python because it's trivially easy to do in that language compared to in C. So yeah, that answers your question about SyncML, I hope. Sorry, Jonah.
There's been a lot of discussion about what the merging of this within the application level. So, for example, I'd imagine it would be useful, for example, to, in something like Norfolk, to track something up with quite a bit of things together, or do it in Synapse.
Well, I've talked to the Xbox developers when I was sort of building this and sort of regularly talking with them about where they see it happening, and they agree that it's not feasible to keep implementing these things, Xbox interfaces, and I largely stopped developing the GUI for a while to come up with a decent debuff interface that makes sense, that could be implemented as an Xbox plugin, and so that's my next test bed for my debuff stuff. But as far as Tomboy goes, yeah, I went and implemented Tomboy support myself and took conflict resolution out of Tomboy and left it from being their problem, because I think that's a difficult problem here.
Yeah.
But in terms of Nautilus and stuff goes, well, yeah, I haven't really spoken with them. To be honest, I saw at a Nautilus level being supported by something like tagging the file, as I want it to be backed up here, I want it to be did this. I mean, I don't really want to snake the user instead of be too involved with selecting what files they want to will synchronize, I think.
Because I was just thinking, like, a lot of this is new to me. Mm. I mean, I read Planet Gnome and whatnot, but a lot of this is fairly new. It'd be quite interesting to see, obviously down the line, some details to application developers.
Yeah.
For example, it would be great to, one thing we've talked a lot about in Jocosha is the idea of syncing with other applications.
Yeah.
And at a slightly different level, controlling Jocosha with a 770 or something like that. So syncing data between devices, and you know, so in a studio you don't want to, you're not always near a computer, you might be sat on a drum kit and you might want to start Jocosha from your 770.
Yeah.
Things like that. And a lot of this kind of backs up that kind of sort of side of things. So it'd be really interesting to see for application developers how they can go about.
Yeah. I started sort of documenting that on the wiki this week about this idea about and I suppose it's a bit of a confusing concept, but a URI makes sense in known space. So if Jocosha at some stage thinks of a project file as a URI, then that can be communicated to Conduit and it can deal at the URI level without you having to write anything for Conduit itself. Unlike FBOT, which URI doesn't make as much sense because they use some database ID to represent stuff. So in that case, Conduit needs to know about FBOT. So I think, I've spent a bit of a while working out, this is just some code for debug interface, working out if it's going to be possible for other applications, and it's definitely up there. I mean, I rewrote it about 3 months ago to address that, so.
It's really cool. It's really cool stuff.
This when I first launched this, I did a release about 2 months ago, and I did it completely, left out all of the file folder sync stuff because I wanted to do all the other cases like to Flickr and stuff. And all I got was a never-ending stream of emails saying, please implement iFolder like file folder sync, and iFolder's dead, and we want someone to do a decent, easy-to-use iFolder type situation. So this is meant to be... for the case where you aren't on an enterprise network and you don't need a central iFolder server, because iFolder never really finished the whole serverless peer-to-peer implementation, the project kind of got abandoned before that, so all I wanted to do is give a similar sort of ability of just syncing one folder with one other folder in here. But in terms of at the protocol level, I mean, I don't even know where iFolder is at the moment. They were going to rewrite it in C++ for a while. I don't know what stage it is at the moment, but... Yeah, well, I actually stole a lot of the resolution algorithms and stuff from OpenSync, conceptually anyway, so, which is similar. I imagine they have some ideas there.
A couple of questions. One, you said this is more of an object-level synchronization or as a record-level synchronization?
Yeah, well, this is where I started to not be certain when it comes to desktop preferences, because that's a lot higher in the stack, and I said URI doesn't make much sense for desktop preferences. So I've tried to delegate that back, that responsibility and that freedom back to the person extending it. So I thought you see there I've got, is it running? Yeah. No, that's at a record level because I saw the modification times for each discrete data item. So they'd be conflicting because they would have both changed from the perspective of this computer.
Right. So I don't have the conflict resolution dialog worked out yet, right?
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't show up to me. But no, that's the main remaining... the resolution part does work, but let's go and make the changes according to what I resolved them to isn't connected up yet. So.
Do you see this as replacing OpenSync or being augmenting the way OpenSync or MultiSync, what it used to be,
yeah,
is?
I think the distance that's come in 6 months, and now that OpenSync's got G-object bindings, and now the only really useful thing to me from OpenSync's perspective is SyncML. I think given another 6 months, this will be past what OpenSync is.
You mentioned SyncML, and I just wanted to touch on that. There's some very interesting patent-related issues with SyncML, so just tread lightly with that.
Been lurking on the SynCE channel, actually, as well, and there's an interesting speculation about a couple of weeks ago of someone releasing some open source over-the-air synchronization code, so that might be interesting, and that might be another way to get around that.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, just one last point. In terms of,
communication,
what
hold on. Sorry, in terms of thinking to, just a new website, what would it take? Is just writing some Python code to sync to a new... I guess not a data source, but the other way around.
Yeah, I'll just, it's pretty easy just to show you a demo one, yeah. So this is an example one which is heavily commented, so it's a bit confusing to read, but similar approach to Deskbar did. So we define our class, which in this case is a data provider. So at this stage it's two-way, but in this case it's a known data source, so it's only one directional from this side going back. So as a data source, you can implement as many or as little things as you want, and you can define your own types. So at the moment, because this is an example one, I've defined my own data type, which is pretty useless. It just represents a page on the wiki. And then you can define your own converter, which converts that to any of the other standard types, which again, in this case, is just to show you how to do this. But for example, like the data source, you implement configure if you want, if it needs configuring, refresh, which sort of checks if it's available or not, and makes getNum items return the useful number, if that makes sense. And otherwise, you just implement get, and that takes an index, which is from naught to however many items you have. And that's the only requirement from the perspective of implementing a support for a new web service. Likewise, if you're doing a sync, you implement put, and you tell it what data it's allowed, and then it looks and see if it knows about that kind of data. If it doesn't, it looks if it can convert it, and if it doesn't know then you're out of luck. But if you're in that situation, you just write a converter to convert from something else to your native type, and it will chain them. So if you support something which is random, it'll try and go through text, or it'll try and find the path of conversions that make sense. So yeah, you can really do, I mean, in this case, this known known is a good example because, the known wiki uses known known, which is a wiki, and it's got an XML RPC interface, which is like, I don't know, one or two lines for getting the content to the page and stuff. So for good websites like that, it's trivial. And Flickr, I mean, they just end Python bindings for that. That's the other good thing about Python. It's usually one of the first languages to get bindings for a website, which is another reason I chose it, although maybe it's Ruby now, but all the social websites you think of have Python bindings except for Google Notebook. Yes. Evolution contacts and calendar will be for the next release because of. The question was, will you support evolution contacts, emails, and other evolution stuff? My evolution bindings at the moment are doing contacts and calendar-ish. Email won't be this release because evolution data service API is confusing. Which I looked into it for a while, but then they need to be running the open-hand version of EDS, don't they? Yeah, the question was Dbus API for evolution, and the answer is it runs a modified evolution data server that OpenHand makes, which not everyone runs.
I was wondering if you were planning on possibly daemonizing the Dbus interface so that you could run possibly the back end on a standalone server and use the front end to interface with that, so that, you know, me personally, I keep all my photos for Flickr on the file server, and I'd rather just have a, you know, scheduled job on the file server to say go synchronize this stuff than have to manage that from my desktop.
What I've got at the moment is, so it'll run headless at the moment, and I thought of what you were suggesting the other day. I've been thinking of a clean way to implement it, and then other people which might have been doing too little work and reading too many blogs might have seen someone do a debugger for SSH thing about a week and a half ago, and I was like, boom, that's how I'm going to do that. So that's how I'm going to do, I think, that what you suggest is letting it run on a remote thing and then doing debug calls remotely over SSH. Cool. All right, well, thank you much, everyone, and check it out.